All right, I guess we'll get started. Okay. Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's always good to be here, even though it's a very, very, very cold night. It's been quite chilly here these last few days in Wisconsin. In fact, this morning, they actually canceled public school classes because it was so cold. They said with wind chill, it was between minus 25 and minus 30 degrees. So it was quite chilly. And when I was driving over here a little while ago, the thermometer in my car said it was 5 degrees outside. So I guess it warmed up a little bit, but it's still quite cold, especially when there's a breeze. So, but praise God, it's nice and warm in here. Thank God for a working furnace, because I have some memories when I was a kid. There were some times when the furnace in this building went out and it got very cold very quickly. But praise God, it's wonderful to have a reliable furnace, and we haven't had a problem like that in a long, long time. Praise the Lord. We're going to, of course, worship God for a while, then we'll have a Bible study. But before we do any of that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy goodness and for thy mercy. We thank thee that thou hast given us this place where we can come together and we can worship thee, this place where we can reach all across the world online. We thank thee for each and every online listener and all those who love thee and love to worship thee and love to study thy word. We ask, O God, for thy blessing to be here this night. We pray that thy spirit would be upon thy people. Fill us all with a desire to draw near to thee. Fill us with a desire to worship thee in the spirit and in truth. And we pray for thy blessing to be upon the entirety of this service. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to start with number 159 in the chorus book, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. Number 159. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. Shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise
the
Lord Jesus.
Thank you, God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to turn now to number 110 and sing He's My Bread When I'm Hungry. Number 110. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in a time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. He's my bread when I'm hungry, and my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And we're going to turn now to number 90 and sing The Name of the Lord is a Mighty Strong Tower. Number 90.
The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we have a request here from El Josh tonight for number 237 in our Melodies of Praise hymnal, I've Anchored in Jesus. So why don't we turn there right now? 237. Upon life's boundless ocean where mighty billows roll, I've fixed my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me as storms are gathering o'er, I rest upon his mercy and trust him more. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I'm anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I'm anchored to the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice hath stilled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to him I all confide. For always when I need him, he's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. He is my friend and savior, in him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I'm anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I'm anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I'm anchored to the rock of ages. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. Hallelujah. Well, it's a wonderful thing that we can be anchored in Jesus. And I tell you what, we have battles to fight in this life, and we see more of those all the time in this day and age that we live in. But I tell you what, when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Let's turn to number 148. When the battle's over. I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and to own his cause or blush to speak his name. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. There no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace, to help me on to God? And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you what, we do have battles to fight in this world. And especially with everything that's going on right now, and I'm gearing up to write another newsletter I plan to start writing tomorrow. I've been in the research phase for the last few days. I haven't written anything yet, but I sure have thought about it a lot. And you know, that may sound funny, but that's actually the very first step. You gotta think about it for a while before you can write anything. But I tell you what, you look at everything that's happening in the world, and we are living in exceedingly perilous times. And, you know, I just cannot believe some of the things that are being said just about the unvaccinated people and the way they're being shunned and separated and segregated by so many people, liberals especially, and there are some who even suggest that people who refuse to get vaccinated should be thrown in jail. That's been tossed around a little bit, but it's so strange because we're living in this period now where you have this Omicron variant where a lot of scientists and experts and doctors and so forth are saying that because it's so contagious and produces mild symptoms, it could actually do what the vaccines have been unable to do and bring about herd immunity. A lot of them had said that. In fact, even Bill Gates recently said that once Omicron passes, the coronavirus, COVID-19, will be like the flu after that, and it'll be a seasonal thing. But why are they putting out such harsh restrictions now towards the unvaccinated if this thing is almost over? Of course, we don't know what the future brings. We don't know exactly if it really will be over in a few months, but a lot of these doctors and scientists are saying it's probably going to be 2 or 3 more months, and then the worst is supposed to be over, and a lot of people will have herd immunity after that. I mean, we will see. And certainly, I hope that we do reach herd immunity, but these vaccines obviously haven't done anything to stop the transmission of the virus. In fact, there's more of it now than there ever has been. It doesn't stop you from getting it, and it doesn't stop you from transmitting it. And yet, they want everybody to go get their shots. And you have to wonder why that is. Yeah. Maybe it's more about control. Yeah. Maybe they're more concerned about that than people's health. But, you know, that's just one of the many things that are happening. Of course, we've been dealing with supply chain issues and shortages of this and shortages of that, and inflation has been absolutely off the charts. It was 7% last year. 7%. That is a lot. And that's supposed to keep going. You know, I had reported last year in some of the newsletters that Janet Yellen claimed that inflation would taper off sometime by the third quarter of 2022, towards the end of the year 2022. And now, as you just recently said, it'll taper off next year, and you know, in 2023. They keep pushing this back because it's so terrible. Meanwhile, people are hopping mad at Joe Biden because he's done such a terrible job as president. He's an embarrassment. I think last I read, his approval rating is 33%, which of course is even worse than his predecessor, who was very much hated by at least half of the country. And, you know, it's not going well. At the same time, you have Russia rising up, chomping at the bit. It looks, I mean, the way things are going, it would not be surprising at all if they went and invaded Ukraine. And if you try to imagine what they're thinking, they might think, well, Biden is such a weak leader that he's not going to be able to do much to stop them. And so you have Russia wanting to invade Ukraine, and then you have China wanting to invade Taiwan, and you have Iran rising up at the same time, and North Korea testing nuclear missiles, all at the same time. You wonder if maybe they can sense weakness? I know a lot of people can, because Joe Biden has been an absolute unmitigated disaster as president of the United States. He has weakened this country. Gas prices are terrible. Inflation is terrible. Energy costs are terrible. There's shortages of food on the store shelves. There's so many problems, it's hard to keep track of them all. And we certainly need the Lord's help. But obviously, I'm going to have a lot to write about. And unfortunately, because of everything that is happening in this country and in the world, really, there's a whole lot of despair out there. And another thing that's happening that's really quite strange is they said deaths are way, way up in the United States, and not just from COVID. You know, when people first hear that, they probably think, well, it's probably all related to COVID, but it's not just COVID. In fact, life insurance claims rose exceedingly. I think they were up 40% last year, which means, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people died in this country. And it wasn't just from COVID. If you look at the numbers, it wasn't just COVID. But I tell you what, a lot of people have certainly been miserable because of all the restrictions that have been put in place. We will see what happens. These are going to be some very, very interesting months ahead. And we need to keep praying. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow, which brings us to a song request from Brian and Vicky, 112 in the hymnal, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. Let's sing that right now. 112.
But the one who feeds the
sparrow is the one who stands by me, and the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Many things about tomorrow I don't see. Well, we are going to have Shirley come up now, and she's going to lead a Bible study. Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. I surely am glad that we have the Lord. Amen. That he holds our hand. Oh, thank the Lord. Yes, these are very perilous times. But you know what? Oh, yes, thank the Lord. We can hold to God's unchanging hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the name of my message here tonight. Hold to God's unchanging hand. And so thankful that, oh my, we have such a consolation in our God, such a refuge, such a place. Oh my, you know, we can trust our God. We can trust him. We know that we go through funny things. We go through trials. Sometimes it's very painful. Sometimes it's very hard to understand, but oh, thank the Lord. We know one thing. We can trust our God and we can hold to his hand. Amen. His unchanging hand. Praise the Lord. Oh, we have stability in our Savior. Yes, we can cling to his promises. We can know that they are yea and amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now and talk to him as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for such an opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for this privilege, Lord. We thank you for your word that speaks to our hearts. Oh, God, we thank you for the Holy Ghost that ministers to us too, oh Lord, to lead us, to guide us, to show us the things that we need to see, to give us that inspiration that we need. Oh God, we thank you for the hope that is deep within. Oh God, that anchor of the soul, Lord, that we can cling to, that we can hold to, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you would work in us, oh Lord. I pray that you'd get us ready, oh Lord, for that great day when we stand before thee. I pray that you would talk to us here tonight. And oh Lord, let your word minister, God. Oh God, let your word touch our hearts. Oh God, you know what we have need of as individuals. I pray, oh Lord, that that hope that comes from thee would be deep within our beings. Oh Lord, that you would help us, Lord, that you'd talk to us, that you'd change us, that you'd get us ready, Lord. Oh God, for all that matters is that, oh God, we can stand before thee and hear thee say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Father. Oh, praise the Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that you would work in us. Oh God, that you touch those that have needs tonight. I pray, oh God, that you encourage your people. Oh God, I pray that you give faith to your people, Lord. I pray that you give hope to your people, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'd help us to look on thee and on thy word. And oh God, that we'd hold, oh God, to the things that you have written. Oh God, that you've inspired, God, all those eternal words of life. And oh God, I pray, oh God, that you'd minister to our hearts. God, you know every need. Oh God, you know those that are sick. And oh God, those that have pain issues, Lord. And oh God, those that have financial situations. Oh God, and all kinds of other consequential things, Lord. Oh God, that are going on in one's life. Oh God, I pray that you'd work. I pray that you give us hope. And I pray, oh God, that you'd minister to us tonight. Oh God, help us to see what we need to see and understand what we need to understand. Let the devil be rebuked. Let him have no place here, God. And I pray, oh God, again, give us faith, Lord. Help your people, Lord. Oh God, you know those, oh God, that need you. Lord, give strength right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that thy healing virtue would flow, Lord. Oh God, that you give faith, Lord, that we can believe you. Oh God, that we can take you at your word. And oh God, that we can hear thy voice. Oh God, and know thy voice well, Lord, as you take us through this world. Oh God, that we would not go astray or be deceived. And I pray, oh Lord, oh God, that you use this word. I know I can do nothing without you, Lord. Please, oh God, take this word and use it. Oh God, give me the inspiration. Oh God, give me, oh Lord, the words. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that you be here in a wonderful way, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, by the power of the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it is so true that these are indeed very, very perilous moments. And I mean, yes, we're just seeing the things that are potentially in the making. And God only knows, because he can stop what he will stop. But I'll tell you what we're seeing. It tells us that his coming must be at hand. You know, oh my. I mean, if there is a breakout of war and it leads to what they call World War III, I mean, come on, we better hold on to God's promises. Well, oh yes, we better keep our minds stayed upon the Lord. Oh, we better forget about all the incidentals and just all learn to just completely turn everything over to the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, that our lives would be wrought in him. Oh, yes, that we'd be filled with his spirit. And, oh, yes, abounding in the things that are good. Oh, the fruit of the spirit and all the blessings that come forth because we are the children of the living God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go into God's word right now and see what he would show us here tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Like I said, we're going to call this message, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at some scripture here. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Psalms 119. I'm just going to be reading a few verses here. Praise the Lord. I pray that they would minister to our hearts, but let's find this verse here and Psalms 119, and going to the 160th verse here, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Listen, it says, Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Isn't that pretty wonderful? Thy word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Amen. Praise the Lord, the consistency of our God. Praise the Lord. Of course, we know what Hebrews 13, verse 8 tells us. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. That's right. Oh my, he isn't like individuals in this world. Oh, can be very fickle. One way today and an entirely different way tomorrow. Oh my, you know, we've seen it. And we've seen so many changes in this world, but oh my, we know Jesus Christ hasn't changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Malachi 3:6. Another verse here. It tells us here, Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, because God had a promise. Right. And oh, yes, He is the Lord and He changes not. Amen. Praise our God. And let's also go to Romans here for a moment. Romans, the 3rd chapter. Praise the Lord. And catch a couple verses here. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 3, for what if some did not believe? Question. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Question. Well, the answer here in verse 4, God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Oh, praise the Lord, the word of God, all that is steadfast and sure. Oh, what has been written is forever true, amen. And it doesn't matter if there are some that did not believe. Oh, there are plenty of Jews that did not believe. Oh, yes. Plenty of Hebrews that did not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. And the question, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Oh my, no. The promises of God are yea and amen. And despite the fact that some did not grasp on to those promises and believe, it tells us, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Praise the Lord, as it states in Psalms 51, verse 4. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, we live in a world where people change. And I think all of us, even if we're pretty young, still have seen a lot of changes. These last 2 years have brought many, many changes. But I recall many changes from my girlhood and you know, just thinking a little bit today. As a girl, you know, it seemed like family life for most of my peers there in grade school, it was pretty stable. Almost everybody went to Sunday school, some church of some sort. Almost everybody, I think perhaps everybody in my grade school would have considered themselves to be Christian-minded. And I would say that family-wise, there was a lot of stability. You know, almost everybody had a mother and a dad. And oh my, you know, it wasn't like they had a bunch of stepbrothers or sisters or a stepdad or a stepmother. No, things were a lot more stable back then. Yeah, divorce was not common at that point. It was, you know, exceptional if somehow that happened. But my, how we have seen things change in these years that have, oh yes, passed by more recently. We know that in the 70s there was this disgraceful bill that was passed by the Supreme Court where Roe versus Wade allowed abortion to be legalized. And then, not so many years ago, less than 10 years ago, I would say, we saw that same-sex marriage was legalized. And in the 70s also, I remember things happening in the church world. It seems that other Bible versions were becoming more popular in the pulpits. And another thing was entering in. It was called Christian rock, so they called it. And that was coming into the churches. It was questionable there for a moment. Remember, Pastor Meyer had the privilege of speaking on that topic at a church in Madison. And that was an amazing moment because they had asked him to speak on that topic, considering rock music. And, of course, we were very much in opposition to it, but others weren't so sure. And like I said, it was coming into the church. And I'll tell you what, Pastor David gave quite a message that night. I don't remember too many other messages like that, and I don't remember too many other services that such receptance followed. People were lined up, and oh my, I remember just some of the old-timers in that church saying that he had said things that needed to have been said years ago. And oh my, they were concerned and they were convicted. He had spoken against Halloween and other such subjects. And people were greatly convicted in their hearts. But sad to say, the pastor got up the next Sunday and put down everything that Pastor David had said. And oh my, from what I understand, everything went backwards from that point. But I'll never forget that service, because God moved in a great way. And oh my, how people needed to hear. But I know the devil is a robber and does seek to destroy whenever he can. And oh my, it's sad to think how this ended up here in that church. We had actually been a part of that church for a year. We had a campus ministry in Madison, and we were very engaged in that church for a season. We taught in Sunday school classes and participated in many ways, and like we had a very active campus ministry. It was actually very exciting. I met on campus with students. I took a couple classes actually there, and actually worked with those young people. We were pretty young ourselves, I must say. But anyway, we saw the Lord work. Oh yeah, we baptized at least 10 of them, maybe more. And oh my, it was quite an exciting time. We worked with a lot of students there on the campus there at Madison. Praise the Lord. But oh my, since that time, there have been a lot of changes. And right now, I think there's another thing that some are considering. It's the acceptance of pedophile. I know this is hard to believe, but you see, there's such a wearing down of immorals and the things that are good and true in this world. And we have seen this tremendous erosion in these years. And oh my, I don't know if time would continue unless there was a change in the hearts, unless there was a call to repentance. This world is indeed on a very wayward course. And having known the judgment of God, and having seen how he goes forth to intervene, I know that there is going to be a moment, and I believe it is soon, when God's wrath will be poured out without measure. I believe we are very close to the end of time. You know, it tells us in Isaiah the 5th chapter, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." I'll tell you, that has happened. Oh, that has happened in my lifetime. There's been a great change where people, oh yes, don't even perceive what is good and what is wrong, what is right. Oh, there is a great problem when people call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, it also says in that fifth chapter of the book of Isaiah, verse 13, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. And how sad. And it says in that 14th verse, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Oh, how sad it is. Oh, when the truth is not being heard. Oh, how we need to hide the truth in our hearts. Oh, to buy it and to sell it not, to cherish it, to love it, to esteem it, to hold to it. Amen. Because people go into captivity when they have no knowledge. And oh, yes, we know that that easily can lead to the lake of fire. Oh, yes. That is the sadness of all of this. The things that we are seeing in this world today, the things that have been embraced and accepted. It's a sad day when people don't know what sin is any longer. They're doing all kinds of shady things and thinking, you know, it's okay. When they measure themselves with each other and, you know, just compare themselves in that way and just, you know, think because Joe down there is a pretty good guy and, you know, he drinks a 5-pack every day. It can't be so bad. God's not going to condemn me if I do likewise. But no, it's time for people to wake up. It's time for people to get right with God. Oh, it's time for people to look into the Word of God and realize what has been written has not changed. That God has not changed. The times have changed. People have changed. They want you to change with the times, don't they? But we better not. We better give heed to the things that are true and faithful, the things that have been written. Oh, yes, in the word of life, the words of life. Amen. Oh, we better give heed to those things that have been declared by the prophets, by the men of old, by the apostles, praise the Lord, inspired by the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way, and walk therein? And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Verse 17 here in Jeremiah 6 tells us, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Oh, that's a poor, pathetic thing. Oh, it's a terrible thing, really. Oh, yes. When the word of God is ignored, and people go in their rebellious ways and don't give heed to what has been written in the Bible. Well, downright rebellion here. Oh, yes. When they've been told to stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But instead of giving heed and listening, they said, we will not walk therein. Oh, that is a sad moment, I say. Oh, yes, it is sad. Oh, when they say peace, peace, and there is no peace. As it tells us in verse 15 in the 6th chapter of Jeremiah, it asks here, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Oh, yes, that's the way it is. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. His word is true. It has been true from the beginning. And oh, yes, as it tells us in Psalms 119, verse 160, every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it is written. So it tells us in God's word. Amen. If we turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, I think we get a good picture of what man's rebellious nature leads to. Let's look at it here for a moment here. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and I'm going down to verse 11. It's going to talk about Zedekiah. He was the last king of Judah before Babylon came in, before Nebuchadnezzar came in and took him away and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed Judea. And here's the sad story. Let's look at it here. Verse 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And I'll tell you what, as I read this, it just reminds me, you know, there has been a rise of witchcraft in the land. Oh yes, people, oh yes, have embraced it, maybe sometimes without even realizing. Oh yes, the Harry Potter materials and all the other stuff that has advocated such is indeed very popular. People go about thinking in ways that God has forbidden and doing things that God has forbidden. And so it was here in the land of Judea here at the time that Babylon was allowed to come in and take them. Yes, as it tells us in verse 14, yes, the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which is hallowed in Jerusalem. Oh my, there are even spaces for homosexuals. Oh, very horrendous things. And oh my, I believe we're talking about a time when God's word was not esteemed. They had forgotten it. They were not living according to it. They had allowed all these heathen practices to come in. And oh yes, witchcraft included. So thus it tells us in verse 15, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. Listen. It says, till there was no remedy. Oh, it can get so bad. God is patient. He is not willing that any should perish. Oh, he is holding out that people would come to him in repentance. But there comes a time when it is just too much. There comes a time when there is no more remedy, when they have mocked the messengers of God, when they despise the words that God has brought forth through his people and misuse the prophets. Oh, yes, that is going to bring about the wrath of the Lord. Oh, it's going to rise in a mighty way. And it says, till there was no remedy. Oh, yes. Even just reading the book of Jeremiah, we know, oh, there are many, many times that God used Jeremiah to give that word. Oh, yes, to warn them, to tell them to get right. Oh, to mend their ways. And oh, yes, to turn back to the living God. Oh, yes, he even addressed the kings. But oh, my, they didn't listen. They despised his words. And oh, they misused him. Oh, yeah, they didn't like what he was saying. Oh, they put him in the dungeon. Oh, yes, they put him in, you know, in a prison. Oh, yes. Because they preferred the flowery words of the false prophets that said, you know, peace, peace, even though there was no real peace at all. But it was so much easier to hear the flowery words and, oh yes, the better tidings, so it seemed, rather than hear that they needed to get right with God and repent. So it came to that point that there was no remedy. And it tells us in verse 17 here in 2 Chronicles 36, therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young men, or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. Oh, sad story, isn't it? Verse 19 tells us, and they burnt the house of God, and break down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Praise the Lord. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Those 70 years that they were carried away, oh yes, because of their gross sin, their abominations, their despising the word of God, his messengers, his prophets, his people. How very sad. Oh, how very sad. But you know, we serve a mighty God. And as we have already stated, he doesn't change. Oh, yes, he definitely is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know that he cannot lie. Amen. He cannot lie. Let's look at Hebrews, the 6th chapter here. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Hebrews 6. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's look here at verse 9 here to begin. Oh, the book of Hebrews is addressing a very sad condition when people who had been once enlightened by the word of God had fallen away, even to a point where they could not be brought back. Oh, and very, very sad. But it tells us here, and I suppose we should start with verse 7 here. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Well, that is speaking of our lives and how we want to bring forth good fruit. Amen. Oh, yes, that which is blessed by God. Because to the contrary, if we bear forth thorns and briars, it tells us that that kind of thing will be rejected. It's nigh unto cursing, and its end is to be burned. Oh my, how we need to be wrought in Christ and to be bringing forth good fruit. But Paul goes on to say in verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Thus we speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Praise the Lord, the things that God sees and remembers. Oh yes, he is not unrighteous to forget your work and labors of love. Praise the Lord. Well, that we've done for his name's sake, that ministering to the saints, that which we do minister. Verse 11 tells us, and we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full, assurance of hope unto the end. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and that continuing, that, oh, yes, that ability or that willingness to go on and to endure unto the end. For we know that we are in an endurance race. Amen. Tells us in verse 12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we want to go through, oh, yes, this world and be victorious. We want to be an overcomer. Amen. We want to be of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. And it tells us in verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Oh, yes, you know, it wasn't an automatic thing, the promises that God had made to Abraham. Oh, yes, he had promised him, oh, yes, that he would have a seed as the sands of the sea and as the stars of heaven. And it seemed impossible to Abraham. He didn't know how it could happen. He and Sarah didn't even have a child. At least they didn't until they were very old. But praise the Lord, God's promises are yea and amen. And as we read of Abraham, we know that he held on to the promises of God. Oh no, they didn't understand how it would come to pass. You know, there was some confusion there. You know, Sarah had that weak moment when, you know, she thought, well, it must be, you know, that he needs Hagar to fulfill that need. But no, God meant what he said. And praise the Lord, oh, he had promised that they would have a seed. And, oh, yes, at the appointed time, Sarah was able to bring forth a son. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because the promises of God are yea and amen. Isaac, whose name meant laughter, praise the Lord, was born. Oh, yes, God carrying through his promise. And yes, we know that it takes faith to believe God. And it takes patience to hold on to those promises, even when it looks like maybe it's not happening. But praise the Lord, if we could just hold on like Abraham held on. We know that they are yea and amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 13 tells us, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Amen. At that time, under the first covenant, yes, they would swear in order to, you know, make a statement that, you know, they could stand on. So God swore by himself because there was no greater than God, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Praise the Lord, it took time. Oh, there were tests to this. Oh, yes, God did test Abraham. Oh, we know that, yes, there was that moment when he was told to go to Mount Moriah and offer up his son. Oh, yes, his only son. And of course, we know that there was a provision made, so we did not have to do it. But, oh, yes, it was a test. It was a trial. God seeing, oh, yes, what kind of trust he could put in this man who had been named or renamed Abraham. Oh, yes, because he was willing to go forth and stand on the promises of God. Oh, yes, and to pass those tests. Praise the Lord Jesus. It tells us in verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So they would, yes, bring forth an oath, you know, to confirm that, you know, this would be settled, this would be established, and it would be noted. And so God did bide by that premise there. Oh, yes, to bring forth an oath that could be confirmed. So there would be an end of all strife, all questions, you know, all confusion. Verse 17 tells us, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, something that is immutable means that it's unchangeable. And praise the Lord, that is what God wanted to bring forth. He wanted to show the heirs of his promises that, oh, what he had said, what he had promised could not be altered. It could not be changed. So praise the Lord, he made it clear by the immutability of his counsel, confirming it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Praise the Lord, because our God is stable. Oh, he is that rock. Oh, yes, because what he has declared will not be altered. It will not be changed. It is immutable. Praise the Lord. Therefore, we have a strong consolation. We have something that we can rest on. Oh, yes, despite all the things in this fickle world, the things that we can't really depend upon. Oh, the fashions and all the trends that change from one moment to the next. Men's ways, his word. Oh, yes, all the things that, oh my, are so fragile in that respect that, you know, we don't know that they will be the same, you know, even in another week. Or another year, or whatever, all because there is no stability in man's word as a whole, unless Omai is anchored in the Lord. But praise the Lord, God has given us a hope as an anchor of the soul. It's sure and it's steadfast. Oh, it entereth into that within the veil. Praise the Lord. And therefore we know whether the forerunner is for us entered, that veil, oh yes, that, oh yes, was rent when Jesus gave up the ghost. Praise the Lord, because at that moment, Jesus became our high priest. Amen. Even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Praise the Lord, oh, as he offered himself for our sins. Oh, what a wonderful gift we've been given. But praise the Lord, we know that we have a strong consolation, something that we can hold to. We know that it is impossible for God to lie. And there is nothing else that can compare to such stability as we find in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, that anchor of the soul. Praise the Lord. It is sure. It is steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. I'm turning to Isaiah 43 for a little here. Oh, it tells us here, if we look at Isaiah 43, oh, there could be a gathering together of all the people. And oh, yes, they could witness. Oh, yes. Let's just read this here. It tells us here in verse 9, let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this? And who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them break forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is true. So if the word of God was in a courtroom, no, it was to be judged by all the peoples of the world as a witness. We know one thing, that God's word would stand that test. Amen. Oh, yes, it would be true. It would be confirmed, because what he has declared, it will come to pass. Amen. It goes on to say in verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. It's so amazing. Oh, our God who put on flesh, oh, to come to this world, oh, to declare, oh, that he was the Savior, coming to save us from our sins. Oh, yes, to make a provision. Oh, yes, so that lost fellowship could be restored. And oh, that we could know the Lord as our Lord and Savior, that we could be redeemed. Praise the Lord. Oh, he's telling us here, oh, yes, that he is. He is the I Am. And he's declaring very clearly here, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. And yes, Jesus identified himself to the woman at the well there in John the 4th chapter, that Samaritan woman. How unlikely it was, oh, that he would even talk to her. But oh my, she perceived more than most other people perceived. Oh, she began to realize that Jesus must be a prophet to know the things that he was telling her. Oh, yes, and to convict her in such a way that she had never been convicted before. Oh, yes, something worked in her heart. And it's so amazing. Jesus identified himself to that woman as the Messiah, as the Christ. Oh, yes, the anointed one who had been promised to come into the world. Amen. As the great I Am. Praise the Lord. We know that Jesus revealed himself in many other places. In John, the 6th chapter, he revealed himself as the living bread that came down from heaven. And in the 8th chapter of the book of John, he clearly told them, I said, therefore, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus verifying that he was the great I am, the one that had appeared to Moses, praise the Lord, the one that Isaiah the prophet is declaring here in this 43rd chapter. Praise the Lord, yes. And thank the Lord. Through time, we are his witnesses. Oh, praise the Lord, the ones that he has chosen that we may know and believe and understand that he is the great I am. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was I am. Let me read that again. My eyes are just a little blurry here tonight. It says in verse 13, yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that could deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Oh, praise the Lord. In other words, he's unstoppable. What he has determined to do, he is going to do it. And oh, yes, he had declared that he was the I am, praise the Lord, and that there was none that could deliver out of his hand. He said, I will work, and who shall let it? In other words, it means, and who shall stop it? What God has declared, he will do, and that's the wonder of it. We can stand on his word, therefore, because he is the great I am. And oh, there is no stopping of his will, of his ways, of his determinations. Praise the Lord, for there is none like unto our God. And what he has said, he will do. And oh, yes, because of their rebellious ways. It tells us in verse 14, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon. And it brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Oh, the broken pieces, oh, the leftover things, you know, oh, the remnants which are of not any great value. Oh, that's how the Lord is, what he has declared that he will do. He said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragon and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Oh, praise the Lord, the plan of God. Oh, yes. Oh, that he would bring forth a people, that he would do a new thing, that he would bring forth a salvation. Praise the Lord. He would make a way in the wilderness, a way of holiness. Oh, the people that hear the joyful sound can walk on. Praise the Lord. Oh, a way of holiness that the unclean shall not pass over, as it tells us in Isaiah 35. Oh, praise the Lord. A path, a highway that the redeemed shall walk thereupon. Oh, praise the Lord. a people that he had formed for himself. Oh, yes, he was going to make forth a way. Oh, yes, he was going to do a new thing. Oh, he was going to make himself known. And here it was when he came to this world as the Christ. Oh, as the Son of God, as he put on flesh, the great I Am. Oh, yes, robed in flesh. To come to save his people from their sins, to make a way that we did not have to be condemned, a way that we could be redeemed, a way that we could be bought, praise the Lord, and set free. Praise the Lord. He was going to bring forth rivers in the desert, waters in the wilderness. Praise the Lord, to give drink to his people. Oh, yes, I believe that is referring to those living waters that Jesus, oh, brought forth. Oh, yes, they came forth on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, those waters. Oh, yes, they would bring forth everlasting life to the people of God. Those waters that he spoke of in the 7th chapter of the book of John. In the last day, this is verse 37 in John 30, in John 7. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." But oh, praise the Lord, he had said, he had declared that for those that believed on him. And it says actually believeth, so it's not just a believe, it's a continuing to believe. Believeth on him, as the scriptures had said. Oh, praise the Lord, there would be these living waters that would come from the innermost being out of the belly. Praise the Lord, these rivers that would flow. Oh, yes, this well that's so deep that there's always more and more and more of these living waters that can come forth. Oh, yes, to quench the thirst of his people. Those that thirst after righteousness. Oh, those that would believe upon him. Praise the Lord. He'd bring forth this new thing. And it would spring forth. And oh yes, his people would know it. Away in the wilderness. And rivers in the desert. Oh yes. The beasts of the field shall honor me. The dragons and the owls. Because I give waters in the wilderness. And rivers in the desert. To give drink to my people, my chosen. Oh, yes, it may be barren. Oh, my, it may be dry. Oh, we may be going through things that are so difficult and, oh, uncertain and, my, hard to understand. But praise the Lord, there is a provision for the people of God. There are these living waters that we can drink of. Oh, yes. Oh, to bring forth hope. Oh, yes. Oh, to give us reassurances. Oh, to help us to know that we are anchored in our God. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the gift of the Holy Ghost that Jesus brought forth on the day of Pentecost that his people could participate with. Oh, yes, those that would believe on him should receive. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost had not been yet given when Jesus walked this earth, because he yet needed to be glorified. But thank God for that moment. Oh, when it sprang forth. And I thank God that it wasn't just for them on the day of Pentecost, but it was for those that gave heed at that moment. It was for their children. And it was for those that were afar off. And as it tells us in Acts 2:39, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord, so we too can participate of those living waters. We can drink from that well that never runs dry. Praise the Lord. Thank our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, we can cling to God. We can cling to His promises because they are yea and amen. And if we turn to Psalms 37, we will read what David said in this psalm here. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a beautiful psalm. We'll go to the latter part of it here. Looking at verse 23 here, Psalms 37, verse 23, it reads, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? How the Lord knows how to hold us, even though we might stumble. Oh, we might have some bad moments. We might make mistakes. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't this beautiful? He says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, just when we might have stumbled and oh my, when we might think, oh, all is lost. Oh, there is one that has a hold on us. Praise the Lord. Oh, there is a hand that is unchanging. Oh, yes, that knows how to pick us up. Oh, yes, and to get us back on track. And oh, yes, to right our steps. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, to get us back where we need to be with the Lord. Amen. And it continues here. Just tell us in verse 25, "I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, David was a witness to God's faithfulness. Oh, he was verifying it here when he wrote these words here in verse 25. "I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Praise the Lord. God's faithfulness. "He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." But here he tells us, there's a warning here in verse 27. "Depart from evil." Yes, that very great need. And it says, "and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." Oh, praise the Lord. It's so beautiful to know that there is a hand that is unchanging. Oh, there is stability. Oh, in the midst of great trouble, trials and affliction, uncertainties, such as we're seeing even in these moments that we are living in right now. Turning here to Psalms 46 for a portion here. Oh, it tells us here in verse 1, Psalms 46, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah. Oh, I'll tell you, that sounds pretty drastic, doesn't it? Actually, to me, it sounds like the end of the world. Oh, yes, and here it's telling us, despite what could be happening at the moment, even though the earth be removed, even though the mountains would be carried into the midst of the sea, even though the waters there roar and be troubled, though the mountains would shake with the swelling thereof. Oh, it tells us, oh my, therefore will we not fear, because There is a God who is unchanging. Oh, there's a hand that is very steady and sure. Praise the Lord. He's a God that is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. And it tells us in verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Oh, praise the Lord. I believe that's a reference, oh, to the gift of the Holy Ghost again. Oh, that river that, oh, never runs dry. Praise the Lord. That makes glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. You know, the word tabernacle means dwelling place. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes, our bodies become a temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, tabernacles of the Most High God. Praise the Lord, a place of refuge, a place of sanctuary. Praise the Lord. And oh, thank God, His promises that are yea and amen. Oh, yes, a God who does not lie, who cannot lie. Praise the Lord, who is steadfast and sure. Oh, yes, so therefore we can stand on His promises and believe. And verse 5 here tells us, oh, praise the Lord, God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of His people. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a faithful God we serve. Oh, despite all the happenings in this world, all the things that we're seeing coming to pass, we know that our God is with us, that He is in the midst of His people. Praise the Lord. Where two or three are gathered together in His name, He said, I am in the midst thereof. Praise the Lord. Oh, He inhabits the praises of His people. Praise the Lord. He lives in the praises of His people. God dwells in His people. And because He is a God that doesn't change, He is immovable. Yes, therefore, we can stand on His promises and know that God is our help. And He said, oh, yes, God shall help her, and that right early. Oh, yes, the one that hears our cries and knows our needs even before we ask or think. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the immutability of our God. Oh, yes. That fact that, yes, it was impossible for Him to lie. And therefore, we can stand on His promises and believe, oh, yes, in His word. Oh, we know that He has promised to preserve us. In fact, if we just turn here for a moment to John, the 10th chapter, oh, we see a very beautiful thing. Praise the Lord. Going down to verse 27 here, the 10th chapter of the book of John. Verse 27 tells us, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, we have so many reassurances in God's word. Oh, yes. Oh, the stability of being anchored in the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, the stability of His word. Oh, yes, the immutability of His promises. Oh, yes, they are yea and amen. And oh, yes, we can stand on them and know that that which has been declared will surely come to pass. And isn't that beautiful to know? Oh, yes, if we are His sheep, we have heard His voice and given heed. If we are following Him, oh, there's a promise here that He would give His sheep eternal life. Oh, yes, and they shall never perish. And look at this, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, praise the Lord. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Oh, praise the Lord. We have stability in the Lord Jesus. Oh, in Him we have something that we can hold to that is greater than anything of this world. Oh, this world is so full of shakiness, variableness. Oh, yes. Instability and all these things that are conditional in this world. But you know, there is a God that, oh yes, doesn't change. Oh yes, His word is forever settled in heaven. And we can stand on His promises. Praise the Lord. Oh, knowing that despite the fact that everything that can be shaken in this world will be shaken. But oh, yes. And we know that not only will this earth be shaken, but even the heavens will be shaken. Oh, yes. And everything that is of this earth is going to pass away. But praise the Lord, if we're holding to God's unchanging hand, if we're holding to the things that are true, oh yes, because our God declared it so and has ordained it as such. Oh yes, if we're holding to those promises, we know that He has promised us that there is a kingdom that is forthcoming. A kingdom that cannot be moved. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, as we look towards that kingdom, there is that need that we would be fully anchored in the Lord Jesus, resting in His promises, and oh, standing on His word, fighting that good fight of faith, and laying hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Oh, praise the Lord. But oh, yes, we have a God that doesn't change. His word, as I just said, is forever settled in heaven. And if we could just grasp it, we could just hold to it, oh, there are great things laid up for the people of God. Oh, it tells us here in Hebrews the 12th chapter. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 25, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." Oh, praise the Lord. "Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how we need to hold on to that. Oh, which is sure, that which is steadfast. Oh, that anchor of the soul. Praise the Lord, our God who doesn't change. Oh, praise the Lord. I am thankful that in this world where everything is shaking, that we have a promise of a kingdom that cannot be moved. And praise the Lord, if we could just hold on, if we could just endure until the end. Oh, yes, if we could just continue, that no man would take our crown. Praise the Lord, there is a kingdom that belongs to the people of God. Oh, an inheritance that God has promised for his people, a kingdom which cannot be moved. And praise the Lord, it's for the people of God. We could just go forth and hold on to that unchanging hand of God. Oh, the one that has brought us this far, and the one that can bring us home. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, with that promise that if we are in him, if we are walking in the truth, if we are walking in his ways, that no man can pluck us out of his hand. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Talk about stability. Oh, yes. Talk about something that will stand forever. Oh, yes. That is the word of God. That is the hand of God. Oh, that is the unchangeableness of our God. And how precious it is that we can be a child of the Lord. And oh, we can hold to those promises. Oh, yes. And know that God's word is yea and amen for those that patiently endure to obtain the promises. Praise the Lord. We can hold to God's unchanging hand. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise you, God. And I just pray that you would put it deep within us, God, in a world where so much has changed, where so much is shaking. Oh, God, where we see great instability, Lord. And, oh, God, we see great things happening upon the face of this earth, oh, Lord. I pray that you would help us to hold to thy promises and believe in thy word, oh, God, and stand fast and hold to that hand, oh, Lord. Oh, God, that knows how to get us through and give us victory. Oh, God, and, oh, God, how to lead us to that promised land. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're doing. Help us to hold true in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve, and how precious it is to be his child. Thank God we could hold to his unchanging hand. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to be opening hymnal number 2 tonight. I just need to look up the number quickly, but we're going to be singing a song from this second hymnal we use. All right. Number 141, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand.
Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold.
our journey is completed. If to God you have been true, fair and bright the hope and glory, your soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.